You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another issue of the M Squared TechCast.
Indeed. And we have calling in for her monthly update, Kathleen Norton Schock, who's going to be talking about her own podcast, Diva Tech Talk, and also what's happening with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Take it away, Kathleen.
And welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Always nice to talk to you. Of course, we missed last month. I had a rescheduling issue. And what's fascinating about that for me is that for a change, instead of just talking about one of our recent podcasts, there are three that have interjected in that time frame. As you know, Diva Tech Talk, the podcast that we've been running for about 3.5 years, is a passion project for Nicole Scheffler and I. And we founded this in order to get episodes out on the air that would inspire girls and women, girls to join the tech field. And women, if they if they're in another career, to potentially join it, or if they're in a career and considering dropping out, which has become a plague in the tech industry, that they reconsider. And so looking back on the last 7 weeks, we had three separate podcasts that are an interesting contrast, what Nicole likes to call diversity inside diversity. So back in the early May timeframe, we did Tarsha McCormick, who works for a really cool company called ThoughtWorks, and being the co-founder of the first L3C in Michigan, Arden Cause, 10 years ago for me, I've always thought that the future of tech had to be in making the world better. And I thought we were ahead of the curve, but apparently we were not. And I know that that's really true. ThoughtWorks is a global software consulting company created easily 18 or 19 years ago with a mission to drive a socially, economically fair and moral world by bettering humanity through software. Now they've grown to over 6,000 employees with a North American presence. They started out in Europe, but now with a very strong North American presence. And they custom build large software applications for the Fortune 500. Tarsha herself was born and raised in Chicago and is an MSW. She is a social worker who 20 years ago decided to move into the tech field. So she's a great example of someone who decided to do something different. And when ThoughtWorks created a business division, what they call the People Division, in Atlanta, Georgia, and New York City, she moved to Georgia. She is originally from Illinois. Became the human resource business partner responsible for all of the Americas. Now she has gone up through the ranks to become their North American head of diversity and inclusion. And like many people who are dealing with diversity, says it's a much more complex world than those of us who don't deal necessarily with that as our profession. We don't necessarily understand. She emphasizes that diversity doesn't stop with the recruitment of people with different backgrounds or creeds, races, colors, ages, that you have to work on a culture that has the concept of inclusion as part and parcel of it. So there's a lot of things about what she suggests, and I really do suggest that people get to our website, www.divatechtalk.com. She is episode 84, and she has a tremendous amount of wisdom and practical, pragmatic tips to offer those who want to have a robust diversity and inclusion component to their company, which all of us should need, should be looking at today, because, of course, we know we're in a talent war right now, and we're facing a really dire situation by the year 2030, where over several million jobs can go begging unless, in fact, we include more people in our tech ranks. So that was fascinating. And then from there, I got to do a podcast that we published on May 29th with a woman I'd met several years back who I had admired and who finally agreed to do a podcast with us. Her name is Linda Curitan. And you would describe Linda as a veteran U.S. federal government tech leader, and I'll explain that in a minute. But having graduated under duress, having graduated from Howard University, she started as a pre-med major, didn't want to do that, wanted to major in pure mathematics. But her parents insisted, and her counselor insisted, she take computer classes. And we're pretty lucky she did, because she went on to a really amazing career. Her very first entry-level job was at NASA, the National Air and Space Museum. Then she went as a mathematician programmer to the U.S. Navy, then a systems programmer to the U.S. Department of Justice. And then after a while, she became the deputy director of the DOJ's data center. Spending 16 years there, she went to the U.S. Department of Energy as the associate CIO, which we all know in our field is Chief Information Officer, then went over as the Deputy CIO for the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and then wound up first as the CIO for NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, and then finally to become CIO for the entire NASA agency, that is the National Air and Space Administration. As she puts it, my boss's boss was President Barack Obama. Clearly the buck stopped on a couple of our desks. So she did that for a number of years, and just about 2 years ago, she finally, quote unquote, retired. But her idea of retirement, the woman has an amazing amount of energy. I think she probably mainlines B12 on a regular basis, was she retired from NASA and founded something called Muse Technologies. And she did it simultaneously with writing a book called The Leadership Muse, in which, because she has led very, very large organizations, in case you missed any of my previous comments, she wrote this book because she looked around her and among many of her friends, all C-level executives in the technology field, she knew that the thing that they were all struggling with the most was leadership of people. And so the reason she calls it Muse is she says the job of leadership is so difficult and impossible. To a certain extent, it takes divine inspiration sometimes just to get through a day. So Muse supports federal executives and leaders, and we know there are a lot of them who need change support, supplying them with innovative problem solving, process support, strategic planning, all those things that she learned over this amazing career. And she calls herself, she says, I wasn't that great a programmer, but what I am is a great debugger. So instead of now debugging coding, you know, things that were going wrong at NASA or the DOJ or the ATF, she now debugs whole organizations. And that is our podcast number 85, Linda Curitan. So I do suggest that people get to Diva Tech Talk to look at those two. Those are really, really strong leaders, baby boomers, both of them with strong, robust careers. And then our final one that I'm going to mention is a little bit of a different contrast, because we interviewed, Nicole interviewed Chloe Condon, who is a cloud advocate for Microsoft. And what's so cool about Chloe's story is that while she's now a passionate supporter of women in technology, and she has something like 47,000 followers on Twitter, and she is now an engineer, she actually grew up the daughter of a director playwright as a father, and her mother was a theatrical costume designer and graphics designer. So as she puts it, she grew up in a trunk. And the only thing, if you don't mind the quote from Judy Garland from A Star is Born, and the only thing that she thought she wanted to do was become an actress. So she went on to San Francisco University, got her bachelor's degree in theater performance, and booked her first starring role playing Kira. If you know the movie Xanadu that had Olivia Newton-John as its star, they were going to do a San Francisco stage production of that, and she had the lead. And she was all excited about it, right? There was a cutout of her in the lobby, and she was all over the San Francisco press, and she's in her middle 20s. And then reality brought her up short when they handed her her remuneration, which would not even pay for a third of her rent in San Francisco. So then she began to look at, what do I do next, right? I mean, she continued to support her theatrical longings and career by taking part-time jobs. She did a lot of retail jobs and then wound up at a little company called Yelp. And we all know Yelp, I think. But she got there pre-IPO and fell in love, even though she was selling for them. And she says, I was terrible at sales. But she absolutely fell in love with the whole tech startup scene. And then went on, because she happened to be close to Silicon Valley, taking some really kind of cool first-level jobs, for instance, at a company called Zirtual, which is the very first online virtual personal assistant company. She met Ben Parr, who's a pretty famous venture capitalist and now a columnist at Inc. And she just kept falling deeper and deeper in love and said, well, how do I get around this? How do I have a real job in the tech field? So she went back and investigated boot camps and decided to go to one that was a very intense 12-week boot camp specifically aimed toward women called Hackbright. And there she picked up some pretty deep skills and went on to work. Well, she's done a number of things now, but she's now wound up. She started at a company called CodeFresh, where she was specializing in Docker innovation. Then she went on to join Sentry.io, where she was working in open source. And then because she was working in open source, she began to collaborate with Microsoft. And Microsoft gave her, as she likes to call it, an offer she couldn't refuse. So now she's working in the Azure area. And if you guys remember some podcasts back, we mentioned the studio chief for Azure was one of our interviewees. Well, she's working down at the coding level, concentrating on what they're using AI for, particularly in cognitive services. So it's a really fun podcast because she talks about using AI to do all sorts of things. And because she has a theater background, she's highly creative. So that would be Diva Tech Talk episode number 86.
Okay, Kathleen,
you guys have any questions about divas?
We're down to 1 minute now. So why don't you give us the latest on the next couple of events at MCWT real quick?
Right. So at MCWT, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, which can be found online at www.mcwt.org, we have 10 Camp Infinities in progress going from June through August for grades 5th through 8th and 9th through 12th, with 3 happening in the west and northern part of the state and the rest in the southeastern part of the state. The ones in the West are not yet fully subscribed, so I do advise that if anybody wants to join, get their girl involved, they go to mcwt.org, hit programs, and touch the Camp Infinity button. And then our next big fundraiser takes place on July 22nd, which is our golf outing, and that, again, can be looked at from the MCWT site by touching events. And if you would like to sponsor, we're getting pretty subscribed already because it's known as the best golf event of the summer. And we raise a lot of money to support our strong programs to support girls and women in tech. But it's the 13th annual Golf Classic coming up on Monday, July 22nd. Go to mcwt.org, touch events, and you can get all the information about that as well.
All right, Kathleen Norton-Schock talking all about Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Kathleen, thanks.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU 5th among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have calling in from whereabouts unknown, I'm assuming somewhere in Detroit, Tamara Shoemaker, who is with the University of Detroit Mercy. And she's involved in something called a Cyber Patriot. And so let's talk a little bit about that. What's up with that? I know you're having summer camps right now, and you're using an acronym I'm not totally familiar with, MCISSE, which stands for what?
So that MCISSE is the Midwest Coalition of the CISSE chapter, which is a national organization for all of the Centers of Academic Excellence with Department of Homeland Security and NSA. Universities and colleges across the country.
Got it.
And our Midwest Coalition, I'm the president of, and one of the things that we're focusing on is getting some more kids into the pipeline a little sooner than college and university level. We want to work down K through 12 with Cyber Patriot.
Okay. Matt?
So what's the aim here of supporting K-12 cybersecurity programs?
So our aim is to get more kids into the pipeline and get a diverse population of kids in the pipeline. Right now, if we try to cram all that information into them just as they're getting into college and universities, we really don't have enough time to work with them. And so we really want to start working with kids sooner, teaching them awareness and security and how to be safe and sort of get them in the right mindset to be at any level an IT user and someone who goes on the Internet. As you know, that these kids are being raised with, you know, a tablet in their hand, mm-hmm. or a cell phone, and we want to make sure that they're safe. And we also want to talk to them a little bit about sort of careers in this field, how diverse they are, how fun they are, how lucrative they are, and give them an opportunity to see what that's all about using games, something that they already love to do and something that's been around for the last 11 years. And so it's something that's just not as popular in the Midwest, and we are bound, bit, and determined to make that change.
And this is, as you were saying, part of a national program, right, the Cyber Patriot program?
Absolutely. So they started with 8 teams in Florida going head-to-head, and now they are close to 6,000 teams across the nation.
Wow.
We also have the Cyber Titans and Cyber Centurions in Canada and the U.K. as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the whole idea of the shortage of trained cybersecurity people and the fact that somebody could come out of college and start a 6-figure job pretty quickly, right?
Correct. We make in cybersecurity, you make 20% higher than any normal IT person because of that security background and because there is such a shortage. And so it takes, a long time for folks to get through the sort of education and career experience and all the things that they've got to learn and do in order to prepare them to be a cybersecurity professional. And so, like I said, we want to get them a little bit younger, get them started, get them, acclimated to all the things they're going to be doing. I mean, one of the things we talk to them about is making sure they can get a security clearance when they get all said and done.
Oh, yeah.
So these are things that are important to think about early, and so it's good to, let them see what cybersecurity is all about earlier.
Don't want them to do bad things in high school that would prevent them from getting a security clearance later on, right?
Absolutely. That's definitely a part of that. Sort of gone are the days that we're hiring hackers out of, just before the FBI shows up to throw them in jail. We really, really want folks that have high ethics working, to secure our infrastructure. And so, like I said, talking to them earlier about these opportunities is definitely something to inspire them. We also want to show them that there's all different kind of paths. That's why being the president of this coalition, MCISSE, is real important, because there's all kinds of different paths to this kind of a career. There's not one set way to do this. It's definitely not lockstep. It's definitely something that we want you to sort of, investigate. They're the NICE framework that the DHS put together that's out there for everybody to look. It's called the NICE NIST framework for workforce. Has all of the different flavors of what cybersecurity is. And so we don't want any misconceptions about that it's just coding and it's just networks. There's a ton of opportunities out there for people who are into auditing and people who are into, from the whole gamut across the way. And so we want to make sure that they know all of this and that have that information when they're starting to think about careers.
Yeah. Could you give us a quick rundown on what some of the career areas areas are? I mean, I think people just think of someone sitting in front of a screen in a dark room, you know, type thing.
With a hoodie out or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With a lot of Mountain Dew and Skittles.
Yeah. While characters that look like the Matrix go by on the screen, right?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And the thing is that while we have some of those, you know, super people who are doing that very thing, and they really need some of those, you know, kind of those folks, we have so many others. So we have auditors who come in and make sure that you're doing due diligence in your company to make sure that you're following all of the latest security protocols to make sure that everything is safe in your place. We have folks that are in HR who are making sure that we do background checks on some of our people that have our most secure information. Someone has a gambling problem or a family problem, or they tend to be someone who would be easily someone can easily convince them.
Compromised. They could be compromised.
Or someone who could be spearfished, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, correct. All of these things are out there. We have people who do forensics. And when you think of forensics, you think of folks showing up with rubber gloves and dusting for fingerprints. Well, in computers, the forensics is a completely different thing. They have to be able to secure the computer, make sure that no one has touched it, make sure no one has changed the image so that they can actually take a look at what was actually happening on that computer, and they can prove it and take it into court. So there's a ton of different kinds of careers. There are folks who plain and simple are business folks that are making sure that all the procedures are being followed, and that we know where all of our assets are. We've had folks that have come in and gone into major corporations and just spent a career making sure they know where all the assets are and that all the assets are secure.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about those camps now. I know you're having them around the state. Why don't you talk about the where and the when part?
Absolutely. So we're having several camps. We've been building up every year, and this year we're real happy to be, we'll be doing it on three separate weeks during the summer. We have right now, we have one going on June 17th through the 21st up in Escanaba, Michigan. Ooh. With the Delta Schoolcraft ISD. So we're real excited about that one. That one's happening right now. In fact, TV6 is interviewing our folks right after the camp today. So we're looking forward to seeing that coverage. And then the next time we have camps is July 22nd through the 26th, and we have several locations. So we have a location that's near and dear to my heart there on my campus, at University of Detroit Mercy on our main campus. We'll be running a standard camp. Then we have the wonderful folks at the Air National Guard Base in Battle Creek are hosting. They've hosted for 3 years in a row. They've been amazing support. We have one that same week, July 22nd through the 26th, at GE Digital out in Belleville. That one's a private camp. It's just for their employees, and they are at standing room only. They have to turn them away at this point. They have over 50 kids going to that camp, so that's an exciting one for those guys in-house. Then we have our last camps run on the last week is July 29th through the August 2nd. We have an advanced camp back at Battle Creek, and that's a little bit more, a lot more advanced. Those are for folks that are already involved in the Cyber Patriot program and want to take their game to the next level. And then we have some standard camps, regular camps. Anybody without any background whatsoever can come on for those ones. Also July 29th through the 2nd, and that's at the Oakland County Tech Centers, Royal Oak and Wixom, and at Northwestern Michigan College up in Traverse City, and then one at DTE in Detroit downtown.
Wow, lots of them all summer long, huh?
Yes.
So are there still spots open at these ones that are like 5 weeks from now?
We are. Yes, we do. And you can go to our website, which is www.micyberpatriot.com, and all of the links will be there for all of those camps. All of the camps are being, the registration is being taken care of by Eventbrite. In fact, if you just go to the Eventbrite website and you put in Cyber Patriot, you'll come up with all of the Michigan venues.
It's pretty nominal charge, if I recall right.
Oh, it is. So all we're asking, and we do this only because if you have a little skin in the game, folks show up. So
right.
It's $20 for the week. So
wow.
It's half day camps from from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's just $20 for the whole week. And that's just so you so that you are aware of your spot is important. And should you, you know, should it come up and you can't make it, you know, if you've got a little bit of money and you might call us and let us know so we can let those folks that are on the waiting list get into that class.
So $20 a week, Matt, that's what LTU charges for tuition, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So who are the instructors for these events? Who do you get to teach this stuff?
So we have, so the wonderful thing about Cyber Patriot is Cyber Patriot includes both educators and professionals in their program, their regular program and this camp program. So we have folks from that are from actual cyber professionals that are out there and that are coming in to help us with our camps. We have instructors from this the Midwest CISI Coalition is you know community colleges and universities across Michigan that are all working together. So we have all of those folks that are involved as well. So it's a real nice mix of professionals and instructors that teach these camps for us.
All right. Let's do that one more time. If people want to sign up, how do they do that?
So they can go to www.micyberpatriot.com, and they have all of the locations. It actually has all of the things that we're doing in this Cyber Patriot space all year on that website. Or they can just do a simple search on Eventbrite, the Eventbrite registration site, and just put in Cyber Patriot, then all of our locations will pop up there as well.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool if you go to our website because we have pictures from our spring event that we just had. We had just had a big, huge celebration with all of the teams that could make it to our campus and celebrate the end of the 11th season of Cyber Patriot. And we had the top teams from Michigan, the top three teams from each one of the different levels. We had Best Coach of the Year. We had Best Mentor of the Year. It was a pretty good event. And that's a place that people can keep checking back for, even the regular season. When do you sign up? How do you do that? It's a really, really wonderful program, and it's not expensive or hard. That's why we love it and why we're behind it so much. It's $205 for an entire year of cyber the cyber competition. And it's something that everybody can get into. It just takes a laptop or a computer, two laptops or a computer for a whole team, and $205 for high school and $185 for a middle school team. So it's an amazing program.
You also offer some courses for K-12 teachers too, right? Let's talk about that for a bit.
We do. So we were very fortunate that the Michigan Department of Education has helped us over the last couple of years with some funding, and they helped us fund an opportunity to put some curriculum together for K-12 teachers. It's all free, and it's on their portal called EduPaths, and it's up there, and it's a very, very nice beginning. You know, what is this thing called cyber security? What is it, you know, that you need to be able to teach? It's very difficult. We don't want this to be just on the educator's back and for it to be scary, which it can be if IT is not their thing. So we wanted to make sure there was a nice, easy transition. They could go there. And if nothing else, even if they decided not to coach a camp, coach a team, they have a really good awareness training that they were able to even get continuing ed credits for by doing. And it was totally free for all of Michigan's teachers.
All right, Tamara, we've run out of time right now, but thank you for your appearance here today. Once again, folks, that is www.micyberpatriot.com. Thanks once again to Tamara Shoemaker, Director of the Detroit Mercy Center for Cybersecurity and Intel Studies. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Matt.
All right,
thank you, Mike.
For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. And right now we have on the line with us from the Centropolis Accelerator in Southfield.
Hit that bell.
I'll get to that. But right now it's the executive director of the Centropolis Accelerator in Southfield, Dan Radomski. This accelerator, Dan, why don't you tell us, you start us out with a little background here. What is the accelerator and how did it come to be and what is it trying to do?
Yeah, the accelerator, Centropolis Accelerator, is focused on hardware. That means helping companies with physical products develop their products and take them to market. We have a unique, methodology in how we help companies, redesign their product to be designed for durability, reliability, manufacturability, help them with cost reductions, reducing their component complexity before they go to market. The accelerator was, founded by Lawrence Tech University, specifically trying to identify pathways for southeastern Michigan businesses that have unique physical products to be able to connect with the, what is a fabulous engineering university to support their product development. So we look for opportunities to work with industry with physical products and find opportunities for faculty research and student projects to help like proof of concept development, research and support even for business planning.
Okay. And you've gotten some funding, I know, from various agencies. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have support from the city of Southfield, from the Smart Zone designation. So funding that allows us to have tax capture to help with our operating funds to work with a lot of companies. We also obviously have support from Lawrence Tech University to house our efforts, including a large 6,000 square foot facility on campus that we will be opening in October, which is a shared working space along with a product design and prototyping lab. Funding for that is also coming from the city of Southfield as well as the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And we also have funding from New Economy Initiative, a group of foundations that support entrepreneurship in southeastern Michigan and the Michigan Energy Office as well.
All right. And most recently, you have connected with Planet M, which is the state's mobility industry accelerator, on a hardware tech summit. Tell us a little bit about that. It's coming right up. It's 2 days from now. It's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday, June 19th. It's going to be at the Lexus Velodrome, which is on Mack Avenue in Detroit. And Planet M and has a quite a bit of focus working with the Pure Michigan Business Connect team on trying to connect Michigan companies that are developing physical products with Michigan companies that can do the hard product design and development and prototyping work. So it fits in really nicely with the intent of our accelerator. A lot of mobility-based companies that they're supporting also have a hardware element, whether it's a drone or unmanned aerial or ground vehicle. And these are hardware products that require quite a bit of design and engineering work to ensure that they're going to operate effectively around customer use requirements. So we've been partnering with them on this idea of a hardware tech summit for a while. So this will be the first inaugural event that later this week. And so far it's shaping up pretty good. We have about over 500 people registered to attend. Wow. Many of them are obviously hardware entrepreneurs, companies that have physical products, both startups and established firms. But obviously, we also have those in the community that support that product development, design and engineering, prototyping and low volume production at the event as well, including those that invest in hardware.
Hi, Dan. This is Mike. I was a little confused when I did an original write-up on this. I thought it was computer hardware and was instantly corrected by the guy across the table from me here. So it's pretty much – describe the types of hardware that you're going to have on display there so people get a better idea what's going on.
Yeah, so really it's any physical product. It can be a consumer product like the intelligent fitness machine by MaxFit that you featured on your show before. It can also be a more of a business to business related product. We're helping companies that are launching medical devices. We're helping companies that are launching new robotic applications to streamline manufacturing, efficiencies and manufacturing production operations. We have companies that are developing next generation golf clubs, and the like. So it's really, any physical product where we see that the technology itself is unique, the market opportunity is promising, and the company wants to design, engineer, produce, manufacture here in Southeast Michigan. We're really driven by the economic impact that can have by helping a company launch their product and obviously design and manufacture it here in our home state.
Okay, who are some of the highlight speakers and keynotes going to be? What topics are going to be covered by the keynotes and the panels?
Yeah, so we have Robert Bollinger, CEO with Bollinger Motors, which is a new electric vehicle company, who's going to be is already designing their vehicle, prototyping and testing it here in the Detroit area, but is going to be manufacturing and assembling here in the Detroit area as well. So looking forward, they haven't been out there all that public to date. So this is an opportunity for those that are interested in what they're doing in a way of developing electric vehicles that are designed for on-road and off-road applications, trucks and SUVs, to get a glimpse of what they're doing. We're also featuring the Magna Group, who is going to be there talking about all the kind of physical innovations that they're developing for manufacturing. We have a keynote, Dino Narciò, who's going to be presenting. We also have the mayor, Mayor of Detroit, that's going to make a presence and addressing the crowd as well. And then two fabulous panels, one of a number of prototyping experts and even some of our clients that are kind of share some of their lessons learned, challenges, as well as success stories and developing their products and some of the mistakes to try to avoid during that product design and prototyping effort. We're also fortunate to have a number of hardware investors. So these are venture capital firms and corporate ventures that focus their investment thesis on putting money into hardware companies, physical product companies, that will be on a panel in the morning. Representatives from Root Ventures, Q Ventures, Hardware Club, SkyPoint, and Denso Ventures will be on hand.
And you're going to have a pitch competition, I see on my sheet here.
Yeah, so a couple months ago, we introduced, for those that were interested in attending this event, an opportunity to also submit an application for kind of a best-in-class, hardware innovation pitch competition. We had over 50 applications that came in as of the end of May, and a judging panel went through those applications and selected eight of the most promising companies. And those eight will be pitching during the lunch time frame formally to a panel of judges, including investors and strategic partners of ours. And two companies are going to walk away with prizes, $10,000 for the best Michigan hardware company out of that class of eight, as well as $10,000 for the best mobility hardware company. So that will be a nice feature of the event on Wednesday.
Who's judging that for you?
So we have some of the investors I mentioned that will be in town and part of the hardware panel. We also have some representatives with Planet M and strategic stakeholders of ours that have experience with measuring up companies for their uniqueness of their intellectual property, market opportunity, and business growth interest here in the Michigan area.
Hey, I also noticed on my sheet here that for those who don't make the cut on the pitch competition, there's going to be a one-on-one matchmaking. How broad is that? How many companies are going to be involved in that?
You know, it's interesting. We had a real, really interesting number of, you know, companies that were willing to take part in that. So this basically gave the opportunity for any hardware venture, any company that has a physical product to try to pre-event connect with investors, strategic partners, you know, product development firms that were going to be at the event, and request one-on-one meetings that would be coordinated during the agenda. So we have two sessions, one in the morning from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., and one later on in the day from 2:30 to 3:30, where we have over 400 one-on-one matchmaking meetings. So this is a great opportunity for some of our clients to meet with, you know, hardware investors that are from out of town to be able to hear their story and their, in some cases, are raising money, gives them that opportunity, as well as to meet with suppliers, you know, companies from the area that can help them, you know, with their product design, prototyping, maybe low volume production. We'll have over 40 exhibitors there as well, many of which are in that kind of product development supply chain, offering services to help support hardware companies bringing their product to market.
So why the focus on hardware? Did you see that as something that was sort of missing in the, you know, in the local market?
Ecosystem, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's strange. You would think, you know, with our heritage here in Metro Detroit area, right? We're known for building things. We often, you know, talk about our manufacturing strength. However, if you look at the entrepreneurial ecosystem and the incubators and accelerators that, you know, majority of the companies that they're supporting are, you know, software, services, apps, and or kind of lifestyle retail companies. I think there's more than enough hardware, physical product innovation. We see it every day, and you know, the many events that we hold and attract those types of individuals that need support. It just seems like there's really a shortage of incubators and accelerators that really focus in on helping those companies. Their system is set up really to help companies with business strategy and how to really understand the market you're going into. But when it comes to actually developing your product for durability, reliability, manufacturability, cost reductions, there wasn't a lot of support in that area. So the Lawrence Tech and our team really decided to put a big focus on that and really offer unique curriculum, one-on-one support, mentoring, and connection with suppliers that would bring all those resources to bear for physical product developers. And we're having a lot of success with it. We just helped three companies. They had ideas for physical products, help bring their hardware products to market, and they will be featured at this event on the panels. And it's our hope that we can only, you know, bring more great, unique ideas here from entrepreneurs to actually have success and find that they can bring their product to market and design it here and manufacture it right at home.
So. All right. Thanks very much, Dan Radomski of the LTU City of Southfield Centropolis Accelerator. What's the website real quick, Dan?
Yeah, so the event is planetm.com/hardware.
Okay.
If you're interested in attending, registration is free.
Okay.
Free is good.
Yeah, free. Free is my favorite price.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, Dan Radomski of the LTU Centropolis Accelerator. Once again, it's the Hardware Tech Summit coming up Wednesday, 2 days from right now. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with today's final segment of the M Squared TechCast. Last but certainly not least, it's Mr. Chuck Irvin.
Who is a repeat offender. He's been here numerous times, right? So
from 123.net, a company that's right kitty corner across the street from us at Lawrence Tech. Sorry, that's my employer, and that's our shameless plug.
Oh, yeah, they are right across. I forgot that.
So I see their trucks all the time.
Oh, they're everywhere. Nice. You guys, I live in Ann Arbor. I see your trucks there, too. So.
Oh, good.
And Chuck. we'll edit that part out.
Okay.
Is the director of network development. Yep. And he has some exciting news to announce. I'll let you announce it. Rather, I don't want to be a spoiler here. So go ahead, Chuck.
So 123net's been working really hard, and we're very excited. We actually just lit our 1,000th building with fiber. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Let's kind of explain that for the audience that
What
does that mean exactly?
Yeah, what does lit mean in this context? Yeah. We know what it means. We know what lit means in some other context.
Yes.
When you're talking about a building.
Yeah, certainly. So essentially when we light a building with fiber, we bring our network into that building and we unlock the full suite of our products, make them available inside that building. And that does a couple cool things for the building and for the tenants. It increases, the value of the building, having another internet service provider in there. It can also attract some high-tech tenants to the building. And, of course, the tenants that are already there, there's more competition, so they can certainly, get lower cost services out of that. And then there certainly is a class of tenants where the internet cannot go down, and they need, maybe more than one provider. So getting a second provider or even a third provider in there, creates a lot of opportunity for us to, sell our services inside those lit buildings. And I think late last year, we came on this podcast and we talked about our 600th lit building.
Well, yeah, that's
you guys remember that?
400 more, right? Gosh, I forgot. That was
just a year.
Yeah. Is that about a year ago when that happened?
Yeah, I think just under a year ago. So, back then we said, hey, we really want to get to 1,000. We hope we can do it in 2019. And sure enough, here we are. And
wow.
We made it there. And, it's a pretty big milestone for us. Others in the area, obviously, with lit buildings, the local cable provider that we all know of,
they will remain nameless.
and the telephone provider. Those are the only two entities today that have more fiber lit, commercial buildings than we do. So we're in, solidly in third place there. And with any luck, if we can keep up this growth, we can, move forward and hopefully, overtake that second spot and eventually maybe even have the most connected buildings. So
how does lighting a building with fiber, how does that impact the local tech economy?
Yeah, so it certainly does a lot for technology. As you guys know, technology and the internet are extremely interwoven at this point, and that's only going to continue even more. By extending our connectivity in these buildings, we're certainly making it easier for technology to grow there. And we're taking a little bit different approach than other providers, and we think that makes it easier as well. So we have local support. We're based out of Southfield, Michigan here, as you mentioned, right across from Lawrence Tech there. And we've got an office in Grand Rapids, so all the support is local. We're also building our network ourselves, so there's a different quality to this network we're installing. A lot of these other carriers are using subcontractors, to construct.
Those ones that we won't name, I see those people and I discover that they're really not working for those companies, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Sometimes they're hiring, contractors even from out of state, to come in and construct their network. We're taking a different approach. When you invest, when you buy network services from us, you're investing in Michigan and you're investing in the local economy here. These big national companies, they may take profits in Michigan and spend them wherever in the country, they think they can get the most return, on their investment. we're taking our money and our ownership feels very strongly about this and reinvesting it and growing our network and doing it right here in Metro Detroit and in the rest of Michigan.
Besides lit buildings, how else can companies leverage all this fiber that you're installing, Chuck?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what we really want to do is we want to open up our fiber assets to anyone that thinks that they can, you know, leverage them for the good of the community or for the good of the economy here. And I've got a few examples of a couple companies that are doing that. Again, we're going to go back to the unnamed
companies.
Those companies, they actually use our fiber network to get to places that they don't have a presence today. So they may have a weak presence, say, out in a little bit more rural city where we have a good fiber presence, and they'll buy what we call last mile access, and we'll deliver a fiber circuit to their end customer and then back to our data center, and we'll hand it off to them, and they can use that to service their customers. So we kind of have that approach to leverage our fiber. There's some large automotive companies that we've built some dark fiber rings for into their data centers and between their campuses.
And I've heard those names, but I'm sworn to secrecy. So,
and not just the automotive providers. There's other large enterprises that we do that for as well. And we actually just recently completed a cool project with the city of Westland, and we connected all their fire stations, police stations, libraries, the city hall, and the municipal buildings there, all with their own dark fiber, and then got some connections back to our data center. So they're just, they're benefiting from fixed costs of dark fiber, from the scalability that comes with it, and then, multiple connections back to, a data center where they can get economical connectivity. School districts are a new one for us as well, connecting up schools, again, getting them into the carrier hotel where they can buy great, economical connectivity. And then, of course, peer on the Detroit Internet Exchange. I know we've been in here and chatted with you guys about that. So our fiber assets are a great way to connect up to that. Hospitals, they care a lot about the security of their network.
Well, absolutely.
They want to control it, and getting them, dark fiber that they can put their own gear on gives them a little bit more control of that. And then another thing I think we've actually chatted with you guys about is the Detroit Community Technology Project. So that's another,
Dan came in and did that one himself. So back in December, I think it was.
Yeah, that's a project that's near and dear to our hearts, and that's a good example of what I'm talking about. Opening up this fiber network that we've built, these 600 miles and these 1,000 plus lit buildings, and trying to see how we can help the community out and how we can really make Detroit and Michigan, the best connected area in the world. That's our mission. And if anyone's out there and they have ideas for us, we really want to hear them. Reach out to us and let us know what you think you can do with our network, and we'd love to hear about it and see if we can help.
The thing which leads to the go ahead.
The thing that I found surprising was that 40% of Detroit residents do not have internet connections. That's in this day and age. That's
remarkable.
That's astounding, right?
Yeah. It is, and it's right in our backyard. It's hard to believe that it's only a few miles away.
Yes, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's okay. That he was talking about, how he was soliciting public opinion for, what people would like to do with this network, and that leads to the next question: is what's next for you guys? Where do you see this going, say, in 5 years or so?
Yeah, well, we're definitely not done building. 1,000 lit buildings is a great, achievement. But we're still, building as fast as we can. Obviously 1,500 might be a nice, milestone, for us. And hopefully we can reach that, by this time next year. So we're going to keep building. We're also going to try and sell, and create value for other businesses inside of our lit buildings. So about half or so of our, buildings are multi-tenant. And so if it's a 50-tenant building and we've got one customer in there that we built out for, there's 49 new opportunities. We need to get the word out to those other tenants that we're in the building, and we can, we would like to compete and hopefully win some of their business. And then taking our existing, fiber customers and letting them know that there's more benefits to having fiber than they might be realizing today. Maybe they're just getting an internet connection, but they could get a layer 2 connection from one office to another, or they could, do some voice over that, or they could get a point to point back to the data center and put all their, IT stuff inside of our data center facility. So those are kind of our three things that are next. Continue building as fast as we can, lighting more buildings, reaching more potential customers inside those buildings we've already lit, and then getting our existing customers to further leverage, you know, fiber to reach its maximum potential.
So how can businesses figure out whether they're near a 123 net fiber? How do they know that? How are you going to make them aware of that?
Yeah, reaching out to us is the easiest way to do it. You can hop on on our website and take a look at our fiber maps there. We've got a brand new live chat, up and running, and we've had that up and running for a few months. So you can live chat with someone from our sales team or even our support team. But there's a really good chance if you're a business in Metro Detroit, or Grand Rapids or one of the larger cities in the Lower Peninsula, that we're close to you. And if you haven't heard about 123net, it's time to check it out, because a lot of people are buying services from us and benefiting from the network that we're building out there.
Let's talk, I know it's off script a little bit here, but let's talk a little bit about Grand Rapids. What are you doing over there?
So Grand Rapids is our second biggest market, and it's not even close in the state. We're connecting a lot of buildings out there as well. I don't have an exact count, but I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 lit buildings out there. The downtown area is
exploding, right?
It is. It absolutely is. And that's a very dense piece of network for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's an airport out there, the Gerald Ford Airport. A ton of industrial stuff around there.
That's a big tech area, too.
Yeah.
It is.
Part of that is, and even nearby, the old airport, the Roger Chaffee area, is big industrial area. That's where the old airport was before they built the new one.
Okay.
So there's a lot of warehousing and assembly and distribution all around the airport area.
Yeah, that's been a hotbed for us. And then even a little bit west of the river as well. And then there's some major highways. Obviously, our data center is out there. So we've got good dense network spurring out from that. The Beltline is another road.
Yep.
We've got
all those car dealers along there. I mean, it's kind of like what's a good example in Detroit? Like, is there
Maple Road,
I guess.
Yeah, all the car dealers there.
Right.
Yep.
Beltline is like, it's just chock-a-block full of, you want to buy a vehicle, it's somewhere on there,
All right, so I have to ask the Roush question here. Are you hiring, and if so, for what skill sets, and how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a career with 123.net?
Absolutely. So we're hiring on our fiber construction teams right now. So if there's any directional drillers out there, we're even hiring, machine operators, foremen, supervisors. We're always looking for help on our sales team. If there's anyone out there with sales experience, software developers, there's a variety of other needs. I might be missing some. Definitely check out the website, because we are always hiring.
Yeah, and you got to give people how do they check out the website? Where do they find that information?
It's a nice and easy URL. It's www.123.net.
That's it. Just in the careers or something? Or is there a tab there or something like that?
I think there is. I think you can go on there and find a careers tab and see some job postings on there.
Something tells me you've had that URL for a long time, because that would seem to have been one that would go early.
But. You know, it's a funny story. The first day that you could register a URL with a number in it, we registered that domain. So the very first day that opened up, we grabbed 123.net. So
yeah, it'd be worth a lot of money. Of course,
a long time ago.
Yes. So now, do you provide training? I mean, for instance, Matt represents a small institution right across the street from you. So these would be kind of rookies.
But we fight above our weight class.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, all right.
So I'm talking about Lawrence Tech. And so if somebody from Lawrence Tech wants to walk over and work for you and maybe don't have all the skills you're looking for, do you provide training of some kind?
Absolutely. Certainly. We we have a great onboarding process, and we certainly do on-the-job training for almost every position. So we'd love to talk to anyone interested in checking out our company and maybe working for us.
And then also, do you know what your headcount is up to now? Are you above 200 or?
I think we are right around 200. I don't have an exact number. It might be a shade above or below that, but it's right around 200.
All right. Thanks very much, Chuck Irvin, Director of Network
Development.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. From 123.net in Southfield, I want to thank Chuck and all of our guests today. Dan Radomski, the Executive Director of the Centropolis Accelerator in Southfield. Tamara Shoemaker of the Cyber Patriots Summer Camp. She's out of UD Mercy and their cybersecurity program. We started off the show with Kathleen Norton-Schock, who updated us on Diva Tech Talk and everything going on in the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. So a nice, diverse show today.
We try, yes. And then just a reminder, July 1st, we're off. We're going to take that day. I'm taking that whole week off.
Yep.
You got to have a vacation once in a while, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm taking a little downtime, and then July 8th, we'll be debuting our new video.
Yes, video podcast.
Video. You'll be able to see what Chuck looks like.
Yep. Okay. And maybe we'll have the Jessica Cam.
Oh, definitely. We're going to have the Jessica Cam. Everyone's clamoring. Okay. What does Jessica look like? Well, now you're going to find out.
All right. But we'll be back next week, 2 p.m. Mondays, as usual. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M-Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.